Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished and respected medical doctor from Mumbai, India, Dr. NN Prem. Dr. Prem, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Prem is the chief consultant of geriatric medicine. He's an elder care specialist physician at Jaslok Hospital, Mumbai. Dr. Prem is passionate about geriatric care, and he's published several books and papers. So Dr. Prem, before we talk about geriatric care, tell me a little bit about your own amazing journey and what motivated you to focus on geriatric care.
Actually, if you really see, just to set the context, we are, yes, a young population, but we have a lot of older adults who are actually fit, and also a lot of them are unfit. So the most important thing that we actually need is human resource. Right. And that is where more and more geriatricians and more people to take care of them is needed. Mm-hmm. As far as my journey is concerned, I think I would say, I cannot say that geriatrics is something that I chose. Mm-hmm. In a way, geriatrics chose me.
Okay.
Although I was always very close to my grandparents, which I think most grandchildren are, because mm-hmm. it's all saath khoon maaf with them. So, but I think that relationship to a great extent has had affected me. And I obviously sort of always knew that I had that compassion and empathy to sort of take care of course, older adults. However, of course, I think taking care of older adults is a lot, not on how you are naturally, but a lot of times what skills you acquire. And I have to give it to my, my teachers and professors who have actually guided me quite closely. So if you see, I did my MD in geriatric medicine from Amrita Institute of Medical Sciences in Kochi. So I was ably guided by Professor George Paul and Priya Vijayakumar ma'am. So these two have been very sort of instrumental. And apart from that, I was lucky to be with the Department of Geriatrics in AIIMS, New Delhi, where, of course, one of the leaders of geriatrics in India, Dr. A.B. Day, was my mentor. So I think acquiring skills is very important to take care of old people. I was lucky enough to actually have people who sort of believed in the fact that I could make a difference. And I think most importantly, I feel the older adults is whom I've been honored to know them, because I have learned most from them rather than actually even learning only from patients. In fact, in general, all older adults have taught me a lot.
Well said. And, you know, I can sense a lot of gratitude in you for all the, when your patients should really have gratitude to you for all the support and help you give them. But Doc, tell me, what are some of the common misconceptions about aging that you encounter in your practice?
I think there are a lot of myths about aging in general. And of course, in my practice, there is a big sort of unfortunate thought process that older people cannot learn. It's not the case at all. In fact, older people can learn really well, in fact, even better to an extent than younger people, purely because a lot of times we are task-based and target-based, whereas older people use their experience and make sure that the job is well done. So I think learning, not they cannot learn, is, I think, not the right thing to say. Then another very important thing which I would like to say is, not all older people tend to lose their memory. Not all older people actually sort of get depressed. Not all older people will get unhealthy. So so I think these are very, very important myths. The fact that a lot of times they are considered as human resource who do not contribute, I think, is a big myth. According to me, they are one of the most hidden and sort of most, you can say, potentially unexplored human resources who actually can contribute much, much more, not only to their kin, not only to older adults, but also to a great extent, younger people. Another thing is that the fact that they do not adapt. I mean, if it is an 80-year-old, it's a myth to say that that 80-year-old adult has not adapted. I mean, if you don't adapt, you don't obviously live to that particular age.
Correct.
So I feel going towards all sort of, you can say, ups and downs in life, I think older adults adapt one of the best. Only thing is, I think a lot of times we tend to just believe that they will not be able to do it. Whereas a lot of times what I do during practice is give them the nudge and actually realize that they can do much more than they actually think they can. So I think, and another thing is that health is something which I won't say it's a myth. It is not always given the most importance.
Correct.
As compared to maybe just sort of doing the work. So I think the way you age well is directly proportional to how healthy you are. And I think your health should be the most important thing.
Very well said. And you're so right, Doc. I was speaking to somebody 7, 8 months ago about, and he's an expert in brain health, not a doctor. And he's saying based on research, at 60, your brain is the most active. And I said, well, in India, we call it Satyagraha, so. But coming back to you, can you explain to me the significance of a multidisciplinary approach in elder care?
So I think one of the very important things in elder care is actually to think that you can do everything for them, but not alone.
Hmm.
It's teamwork. Hmm. So for example, the leader here of that particular team would or might be the geriatrician or the elder care specialist physician.
Hmm.
But older adults can actually have a lot of problems. But if you solve them individually, taking help of multiple people, it can be better.
Hmm.
I'll give an example. If a person actually has multiple issues, you as the geriatrician obviously can take the clinical lead, but a lot of times they need help maybe in improving their vision. So you might need an ophthalmologist, improving their hearing. You might need an audiometrist, or you might actually need an ENT person. Then teeth, I think dental is so important. So all these three things are important to maintain the quality of life. Along with that, you might need other team people. Most importantly, of course, the physiotherapist maybe, or the dietitians also to help you along the way. And then specialists as and when you need. So, for example, there are multiple specialists because we have multiple organs. But one of the very important things that I feel in that team-based approach is everybody should pitch in their ideas, and ultimately a collective decision should be taken, of course, by the geriatrician to take that particular plan of action. By creating a problem list, you are able to make sure that everything is taken care of properly. And last but not the least, never forget the most important members of the team, that is the patient or the older adult themselves, along with their caregivers, because it's very easy to forget the caregiver, because the caregiver is the one who's actually taking care of that particular person, and to a great extent, maybe even be taking the decisions. So when they are all a part of the team, it's crystal clear what's going to actually happen with an older adult, whether they are healthy or not. Because I feel geriatric care is not only in the hospital.
Yeah.
Geriatric care is a continuum of care wherein you have to make sure that the quality of life of an older adult is maintained even when the person is fit.
Well said. Great response. And Doc, what are some of the key factors in maintaining quality of life for older adults with chronic illnesses?
So I think one of the very important things that we tend to sort of forget, that age might be said to be a number, but with age, a lot of illnesses can happen. So the lesser the illnesses, the more healthy you are. But the more the illnesses, you might actually have more issues. You might actually have multiple drugs, which you might actually have to take for those particular illnesses. Now, we do not live as an individual. We live in an environment. So it is the interaction between us and the environment is what is making sure whether we are healthy or whether we are not healthy. Now, one has to understand factors like you have an aging body. If a person is aging, if you're an 80-year-old, you have got organs which are 80-year-old.
Correct.
So one has to understand that age-related changes also play their hand. When you have multiple illnesses, a lot of times drugs can be a problem, which I already mentioned. So more the drugs, the more could be the side effects. So I am one of those who actually try to reduce drugs purely because a lot of drugs can be much of an issue. Then another very important thing, as I said, is, I mean, where do you live? Because if you're on the first floor and there is no lift and you have bad knees, then for me, your housing is important. So small things like whether you will be able to move out of the house, a person who's actually very active because of bad knees might not come down at all. And I'm talking about those older homes wherein it was there were huge sort of stairs in which and without rails, to be very frank, where people would actually be able to come and down. Then another very important thing I feel is, I mean, which you can epitomize by the WHO definition of health, which states it's a state of physical, mental and social well-being. What is your social network? I think that factors matter a lot. Now, even in the pandemic, what we encountered very clearly was a lot of healthy people felt isolated because they couldn't meet people. But people who actually took the initiative and were got brilliant on Zoom were doing the same things. They were not going down in the park, but they actually had this social sort of system wherein everybody used to meet online in the evening and still talk to themselves. So I think the social network matters, or whether it's clubs, whether it is your park, whether it's walking, you have to continue to do. And it's a misnomer or a myth that you cannot create a social system later. You can create friends at any age. A lot of times older people think that they cannot. So I think the more flexible you are, the more you're able to adapt. I think you obviously age well and you're more healthier. So I think those factors matter a lot. And something as simple as even toilet height matters, because a lot of times people are not comfortable. They end up having a fall. And you know, with falls, there is nothing known as treating falls. It's always preventing falls, because it could be a long drawn sort of illness, which is not good for mentally as well as physically for the person and also for the people who are actually taking care.
Well said. And Doc, you know, when I was reading about you, you've done a lot of work in super subspecialties. So I wanted to ask you, how has your work in super subspecialties influenced your approach to geriatric medicine?
So the thing with geriatrics again is, I mean, it might actually look like one word which basically is split into geras and itrikos, which means old age and healer. But it includes a variety of specialities wherein you actually have to take care of older adults in sort of a more, you can say, in a detailed way, rather than just looking at them very unidimensionally. Now, for example, my exposure to neurology, cardiology, I mean, to a great extent, nephrology, then even rheumatology, all these things have been very, very important. Infections are very important in older people, very commonly seen, very commonly missed. So that is something which is we should never be missing. Then exposure to emergency. I think an older adult can have an emergency at any point. And apparently, normal older adult at home can develop a myocardial infarction or a heart attack or a stroke, whereas a person who obviously has diseases has a greater chance of actually having it. Then things like understanding the social structure, where they are living, with whom they are living, also is a part of. So why I'm bringing it, because I have also had exposure to community geriatrics, wherein we have gone into the community, met people of different types and different social strata, and also exposure to assisted living, old age homes, communities. I mean, there are elder care communities also now, which are very different than older homes, wherein old people decide on themselves that they actually want to go there and have a good time, stay rather than staying at their house, which might be actually 4 or 5 bedrooms, but them and only the caretakers living, which they are not interested. So I think all these exposure to different levels of care is what sort of was very influential, because one understood that you do not take care of older adults in one way. You might actually have to take care of them in multiple ways. And when an older adult comes to a geriatrician, that might be the biggest hope they have. So you cannot miss anything. People say, if you're okay, why should you visit a geriatrician? You should visit so that your preventive health is taken care of. So I think immunization is something which we have talked a lot in the last 2-3 years. But before that, we were not talking much. So I think that is also the key. So exposure to even immunization clinics also sort of helped me a lot.
Well said. And from the time you really got seriously interested in geriatrics, I wanted to get your perspective on how has technology played a role in enhancing geriatric care?
I think, as they say, again, older adults are the ones who always sort of, according to adapt with the times. So we as healthcare providers obviously have to do the same. And I think technology, to a great extent, as we go on, even AI will play a very important role. Technology has played a very important role, especially in monitoring people. For example, there are a lot of non-resident Indians who are actually want to be taking care of their older adults in India. So there are sort of sensors, there are fall sensors, there are CCTVs wherein they're actually able to know if there is a fall, then the sensor goes off and they get a call or they get an alert that actually there's something is happening. Then, I mean, it's well known that watches these days have got sensors also, so they help in activating at least that algorithm wherein you can sort of get into if an emergency sort of takes place. So technology, not only in remote, especially I think remote health monitoring is really helpful. And technology has a good role even in long-term care. By long-term care, I mean in assisted living, wherein older adults will be staying for long. Then very basic things like increasing the toilet height is also a part of adapting the technology, because that really is helpful. And I think older adults also have adapted a lot to technology. For example, pill reminders, there are a lot of apps. So I always tell my older adults that you should download those apps, but they should not be a primary sort of. They should be only reminders.
Right.
You should have those boxes, pill boxes, but at the same time, you should keep writing. Because I feel when you keep writing, you are actually stimulating the brain more as compared to maybe, I mean, to be very frank, you must be knowing that we always used to only write, but with technology, we only type.
Yes.
And now I think even typing is going to go, because we are only going to say. The only sort of flip side of technology is we have to adapt to older adults' needs, which we are doing. For example, people who cannot see, people who actually cannot hear. So a lot of things have to get more adapted. And I think a lot of startups are sort of working on that as well. So I think this, you can say this sort of marriage of technology, geriatrics and healthcare is actually going to go a long way. And it is going to help us, and again, establishing different levels of care. So for example, if I'm in the hospital, I know if I am doing some remote monitoring, I know that there is some person at home who is actually okay or not okay, so that I can actually act immediately. So yes, technology is an important flip, but yes, a caution would be we shouldn't always be only dependent on technology. The human element is very, very important in elder care because they thrive on touch. They thrive on personal sort of only on technology. So another thing is there are robots in Japan now who are actually being companions. I'm not very sure to what extent it will be good in India, but that also shows us that where population might not be there, robots might actually help also. Ultimate goal is to make sure that they don't feel lonely.
Correct.
And that is something which is obviously happening. So it's quite exciting to where technology can be. But again, I want to put it with a pinch of salt that we need to be able to control it rather than putting everything on it.
Very well said. And Doc, you know, in India, for example, it was changing. Culturally, we tend to look after our elders much more than maybe in the Western world. I wanted to ask you, how do cultural perspectives on aging affect your approach to patient care?
I think we are very lucky that we are in a country which is, I think, very enriched in different cultures, to be very frank.
Right.
I mean, in a city like Bombay, even regions, there are different sort of experiences of different people.
Yeah.
But I feel in general, yes, because we have always been where we actually like to take care of our older adults. We always had great relationships with our grandparents or great-grandparents. But what has happened, obviously, is as we are sort of gone into commercialization, cities and towns, obviously, there has been sort of the joint family is gone and the nuclear family has sort of come up. But obviously, that doesn't mean that we cannot be in touch. So I feel that the gap would never be there if initiative is taken from both sides. Because technology, again, is helping in that. So, for example, there are people who talk to their parents every day on video call also, but they are not in the particular place. Yes, again, if you ask the older adults, they would want people to be there in person, but it's not always possible, and then they obviously understand the same. That's why we say we actually advise caregivers, which could be children, grandchildren, that there are specialized people now. There are companions, there are people trained who can stay with older people. So use those services rather than being guilty about the fact that you're not there, because guilt sort of sometimes does set in. So I think guilt is something which is, I think, culturally, which I have felt that should not be felt by either sort of side.
Right.
Then another thing is always take care of the spouse who is taking care of the older adult. It could be either. It could be the male or the female, because we tend to forget them when we are taking care of the patient. So as a part of geriatrics, taking care of the caregiver is also very important. Then, of course, in general, I feel still a lot of times the daughter-in-law or the daughter or the son who's actually bringing in the person together Or maximum times is the spouse. But a lot of times I've also seen grandchildren bringing their sort of older adults. So it's quite mixed. And that is the beauty about India. The beliefs and of course the cultures are quite different. But in general, I feel the fact that we still want to take care of our older adults, whereas the most important thing is, I would say, please, the caregiver should never have guilt that they are letting others with that experience and specialty to take care of them, because you can't be there everywhere.
Right.
And ultimately, availing services is better than not doing anything about it, because a lot of times you then go into the sort of rabbit hole of actually being guilty.
Thank you. My next question to you is that how do you assess and address cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's in the elderly?
So I think one of the very important things which we always tell older adults, especially when they even get in their late 50s or early 60s, get yourself screened for memory. Now, the good part here is you might actually do not have anything. And the worst come worst, if we discover anything, we are obviously able to help you. Now, the brain is something, brain health is very important, and brain is obviously something which really gets bored. I mean, yes, you can have a regimen, you can have a schedule, but if you don't give it new things to do, it tends to get bored. So try to always acquire new skills. That is what I tell my older adults, whether it's learning a new language, learning gardening, I mean, learning something new. Even homemakers can make a recipe in a different way. So when that happens, you're actually stimulating your brain in a different way as compared to maybe normal.
Right.
Now, I think most importantly, what people are concerned is whether they have Alzheimer's. If they start forgetting even keeping the keys elsewhere, so they sort of are like, oh my God, do I have the dreaded Alzheimer's? What I would like to say is there is also a bit of age-related cognitive impairment also. So if you forget something and it comes back to you after some time, then you actually don't have a cognitive impairment. It might just be age-related memory loss. But in case of Alzheimer's, you will not, I mean, you will not remember anything. It will not sort of come back to you at all. You will not lose directions. And you will be able to still have a quality of life, maintain your own quality of life. In Alzheimer's, slowly and steadily, as people get more and more sort of losing their memory, they get more and more dependent. Again, the brain is not about memory. So sometimes people are only worried that they are forgetting. A lot of times people miss the subtle signs. Like, for example, there have been older adults who have looked at the mirror and not recognized themselves. So people who have had issues with language, a person who's an English teacher is not able to sort of talk properly. So these are the subtle things which we need to see, because brain only does not have, you can say, the task or the main sort of role of memory. It is the one which is marketed. There are a lot of other things like actually doing complex things. Now, it might sound complex. So, for example, lifting your hand and eating is also an activity. But it is something the brain is so perfect. There are a lot of times people forget that they have also eaten. So people actually start dressing shabbily as compared to earlier. So these are small things which people might sort of forget. So I think the easiest approach that I take is I always tell them there are certain questions which I always ask them regarding their memory. And because most people think that, oh, we remember everything of the past. Whereas what you tend to forget is more recent things. Like, for example, what you ate in the morning. A lot of times people are not able to know. Or the short-term memory or the recall sort of is the one which goes. So just make sure that you assess that memory. It's something which doesn't sort of, I mean, take a lot of your time. And if you approach your geriatrician or maybe a neurologist, you'll be able to do it.
Well said. Doc, I have time for one more question. And this is a question for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What message would you like to share with the general public about aging and healthcare?
So I think one of the very important things is I'm quite a positive person. So the most important thing is maybe around 10 years ago when I actually got into geriatrics, there were not a lot of geriatricians. The pandemic has actually been a positive tick wherein we have thought more in a better way of thinking about older adults and trying to care about them. So I think more and more geriatricians and other sectors of the society, whether it's technology, whether it's engineers, whether it's paraclinical, should come together and give better care. We cannot think that things will happen on his own. We have to take the lead. That is one. Number two is, let's focus on aging gracefully. And that is important, is you have to take care of your health.
Right.
I think if you take care of your health, then your quality of life matters. Sometimes you may not be able to cure things, but you have to care about yourself. So independence, as we call, if you're able to do all your activities of daily living, that is important. Your quality of life is most important as compared to maybe the disease which you might not be able to control. And finally, I think the biggest asset that we have, which is untouched, is older adults, according to me. And the best way to go forward is intergenerational, wherein a young person and an older person actually work together. And that's how the experience sort of is taken care of, and maybe the recent technology and fresh ideas are taken care of. And the end product would always be the best as compared to maybe only them doing. So make sure that older adults think of themselves as an asset. And finally, always have a purpose in life when you get up in the morning as an older adult, because a lot of times you become cluttered when you feel you don't have a purpose in life. Just have a purpose in life and you'll be able to give back a lot. And you have reached this point by doing things, whether they have been right or wrong, you have actually learned. So most importantly, be inspirational by your own life. You never know, you'll be inspiring so many, as you have always inspired me. As an older adult, as a person who takes care of older adults, I would say that the inspiration comes from them. So keep inspiring us, but at the same time, make sure that you take care of your health. I think that's one of the very important things.
Amazing. Dr. Prem, on that note, I just want to say that this has been such an incredible conversation. You have given us so many points to think about. I'm a grandfather myself, but I know the relationship I have had with my grandparents and my parents. Thank you for talking to me at such length about geriatric care. I think you brought out some incredible points, which a lot of our viewers and listeners would really listen to, not once, but several times. Also, the tips of remaining positive and having a purpose in life is such a wise kind of advice that you have given to everybody. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.